Welcome. Thanks for checking out Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. I'm Michael Costello, the lead pastor here, and I appreciate you taking the time. I hope you find this message encouraging and challenging. If you haven't already, check out our website, gcnaz.church, and get all the information about us. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Good morning. As you may be able to see, I am not Pastor Michael. My name is Pastor Tommy. I'm the youth pastor here. Pastor Michael has been on vacation all this week, and I am going to be delivering today's message. I am so glad that you have joined us on Facebook or on our website. I am so happy to have you here. Last week, we had our district superintendent give a message and install Pastor Michael as the new pastor of our church, and we are so happy to have him here. I'm going to be picking up on the series that we started about a month ago called Jesus Is. And today's message is going to be entitled, Jesus Is Here. Now, that is more than just being here in this ethereal presence, this sense of, oh yeah, well, he's everywhere all at once, but he's actually here. And I want to start out today's service by talking about the night that I came in contact with the presence of Jesus. So I was in college. I was at Southern Western University, and I was in my dorm room, and I was studying one night, and it was just me. My roommate was gone, and I think I was studying Greek, which was not my best subject. But I was studying Greek, and I was praying because I was like, God, I just don't understand this. I just don't understand this. When all of a sudden, I felt the air shift in my room, and I felt this loving presence feel it. But at the same time, it was completely overpowered. I understood at that moment what Jeremiah meant when he said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I have seen the Lord. Because at that moment, I knew that Jesus was there with me in my dorm room. And I felt so unworthy. But I know the presence of God. And I know what it feels like to have the presence of Jesus around you. And I know that it's true because in Matthew 28:20, he gives us a promise. He says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, that sounds great. That sounds wonderful on paper, right? Jesus says, I'm with you to the end of the age. I'm with you forever. But what does that mean for us as Christians? What does that mean for us as believers? Why is it so important to us? Jesus' promise is not just some relic of the past, but a timeless truth that applies to the challenges and opportunities of our modern life. So let's take a quick look at some of those. Number one, assurance in uncertain times. Now, if you've paid attention to the news in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, you know about all the things that are going on in Israel, in Gaza, and all the uncertainty over there. You know how that small region of the world could have global ramifications. It's an uncertain time. You know what our economy is feeling like. It's an uncertain time. There are things going on in personal lives that make it uncertain times. We face all of these challenges with the promise of Jesus' enduring presence because of Matthew 28:20. Knowing that He is with us in every circumstance, including personal difficulties, global crises, transitions, brings comfort and peace to us. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God is making the promise even back in the Old Testament that He is going to be here. He's going to hold you in the uncertain times. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. I am here. I am your God. It's also an empowerment for the mission. The Great Commission is a mission of every Christian. We're supposed to be going and telling people about Jesus. And Jesus being with us empowers us to do that. In fact, let's take a look at the Great Commission. That's Matthew 28:18-20. Now, you may recognize 20 is what I stated earlier, but it's part of this passage. So let's hop into 18. Then Jesus came near and said to them, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So go, therefore, and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus is with us as we go out into the world and tell the world about Him. What better way, what better source do we have to give us strength? If I'm telling a story about my best friend and my best friend is there, there's proof. I know that the story is going to be true because there would be correction. The Spirit would correct. Jesus would correct anything that I would be saying that would go against the gospel. Number three, relationship building. In an era of digital communication and virtual connections, genuine relationships can be challenging to foster. At this time, more Americans feel alone than at any other time in history. The promise of Jesus' presence encourages believers to prioritize their relationship with Him and with other believers, strengthening the sense of community and support. I look at verses like Psalms 23. Where we talk about the Good Shepherd. We talk about how God tends to us. He heals us. He takes us to places. He feeds us. He waters us. He comforts us. And in doing so, He puts us back in a healed spot where we can be with the other sheep. We can be with community. We can be part of the church. Through our relationship with Him, we become more like Jesus. Have you ever had somebody that you hung out with for a little while, and then you kind of noticed that either you talked like them, or maybe you had some of their mannerisms that you picked up? Now, I have a southern accent. And I've always had one all of my life. But when I went to college and I started hanging around people who weren't from the South, I noticed that my Southern accent wasn't quite as strong as it used to be. I was starting to pick up the way that they talked versus the way that I had been taught. And you know, that's kind of interesting because psychology kind of explains why that happens. It's this thing called replicative script. And it also explains why we take on the attributes of our parents. Now, some of you just went, oh, that's not a good thing. And some of you were like, yeah, I definitely can see that I act the same way as my parents. But here's why. Is when we see something and we associate it as a positive attribute, we are more willing to let that be part of who we are so that we can become that in the future. And so that replicative script becomes part of who we are. We are replicating what we've seen. We're replicating what we've heard because we saw that it was good. And because we saw that it was good, we put value in it, and it becomes part of who we are. Number four, overcoming anxiety. Raise your hand if you're stressed. Because modern life just brings all kinds of stress to us. It brings stress, anxiety, pressure. The knowledge of Jesus' enduring presence often offers a source of calm strength when facing life's trials. It encourages believers to cast their anxieties on Him and trust in His guidance. 1 Peter 5:7 shows us casting all your cares on Him because He cares about you. Cast all of your cares on Jesus because Jesus cares about you. He wants to shoulder what you are troubled by because He cares about you. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says it this way. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Sometimes that goes by without being noticed, but with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the presence of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we give our problems to God, when we give our problems to Jesus, because He's right here with you in these situations, when we hand them over to Him, He takes the care. He takes the weight of it. He takes the anxiety. He takes the pressure off of you because He cares about you. He shoulders that for you. Fifthly, it gives us the ability to stand our ground in faith. With all the different belief systems and secular influences, the promises of Jesus' presence reinforces our foundation in the Christian faith. It reminds believers that their faith is not based on mere tradition, but on a living, present Savior who continues to impact their lives. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then Jesus said all we had to do was believe on Him in the past. And then whatever we have from that point forward, we can give over to Him. Going back to what we just talked about, all of our anxieties, all of our cares, all of our worries go to Him because we can believe on him. So that leads us to how we connect with Jesus today. How we feel the presence of Jesus today. So some spiritual practices for you. In modern spirituality, there's a growing interest in mindfulness, meditation, and seeking a deeper connection with God. James 4:8 says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. When you approach God, he runs to you. He is waiting for you to take that step so he can make that jump. He longs to be with us. The divine, holy God longs for us and our relationship with him. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Jesus promises his presence aligns with these pursuits, emphasizing the importance of being present in the moment and fostering that deep connection with him. So how do we get that deep connection? How do we become that kind of Christian? Number one, and this is going to shock no one, prayer. Prayer. You got to have a connection with him. You got to talk to him. You got to have a back and forth. Because it's not just us talking to him and then going about our day. It's us talking to him and waiting for a reply. It's us talking to him and listening for the guidance, for the wisdom, for the comfort. Whatever the prayer entails, we are supposed to have a waiting phase in a two-way relationship with God when we pray. Second thing, meditation. Now, this is meditation where we think about Scripture and we let it sit on our minds. Psalm 119, 97 through 100 states, oh, how I love your law. Let's take a pause right there. Oh, how I love your law is not exactly the way most of us feel. Most of us feel like the law can sometimes be constricting. But yet here we are in a psalm, and it starts out with, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. The psalmist here is saying that the meditation on the law has improved every aspect of his life. Every aspect. Wiser than the teachers. More insight than the teachers. Wiser than his enemies. More understanding than the elders. All because they let what God had wrote sit on their heart, sit in their head, become part of who they were. They became more in tune with God. And because of that, God's wisdom and knowledge and love and all the other characteristics of God became part of who they were. Number three, also probably not shocking on this list, reading Scripture. Going back to Psalm 119, but going a little bit closer to the beginning of the chapter, verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. There it is. Where do we put the word of God? In our hearts. When we put it in our hearts and it becomes part of us, we become people who don't want to sin against God. When we listen to it and it goes in one ear and out the other, there's no change in our lives. But as it becomes part of the core being of who we are, it becomes the challenge of, I don't want to sin against God anymore. And the last one may be the most difficult one of all in today's climate, in today's world, in today's digital age. Solitude. Solitude. Finding a way to exclude yourself from the world to listen to God. Finding that place where you can go grab a seat, where you can sit down, where you can listen to what God is saying. Some people, it's the woods. They go hiking. They go on trails. They become one with nature, one with God's creation to hear Him. For some people, it's a nice, secluded room, a prayer closet. It could be your favorite coffee shop if you're able to block everything out and focus on Him, because that is where you feel comforted. This solitude is one of the hardest things for us, because in our digital age, we are constantly connected to our cell phones. We're constantly connected to iPads, to computers, to the news, to music. There's always noise and distractions around us. And yet, here we have Psalm 46:10 that says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. In a time where everybody is rushing from here to there to get this done, to pick this up, to take the kids here, to pick them up from here, we've got 90 doctor's appointments and only 40 minutes to get everybody where they need to be. God is saying, still carve out time for me. I am important. Be still and know I am God. Because you can make yourself so busy that that 5-minute devotional gets chopped down to a minute and a half, and it becomes just a checkbox instead of a life-changing part of your day. So as we end today, I've got a couple of challenges for you. I want to challenge you to get in a close enough relationship with God that you know that Jesus is here with you right now. That you can feel the presence of Jesus with you. That you are living in the Spirit, that the Spirit dwells in you, that Jesus walks with you. And in doing so, you'll have the promise of His presence. You'll know that He is here in the good times and in the bad, when the sun is shining, when it's raining outside, when your favorite sports team is winning, when they're losing. All the things that we look at as being highs and lows, in good health, in bad health, in good relationships, in bad relationships. through the great times at work, through the stressful times at work. Jesus is here with you. I challenge you to get in that relationship where you're going to be able to see and feel how Jesus is interacting in your life. For Jesus says that he is closer to us than a brother, and he will never leave us. Now, if you don't know this precious Jesus that I'm telling you about, then I want to invite you to pray and ask Jesus to come live in your heart, to be right beside you, to help you to become holy, to wash away your sin, to plant his word in your heart so that you may not sin against him anymore. I pray that you would be willing to accept Jesus and accept the community of believers that comes along with you. The people who are going to be here to help lift you up, to help guide and teach you. But most importantly, I pray that you would pray this so that you can be in contact. You can be close to the all-powerful creator of this universe who cares and loves for you, so that you know that he sent his son to die a painful death so that your sins could be forgiven. I'm so happy that you joined us today. I'm glad that you're part of this conversation. If you have prayed that prayer and you're on our Facebook or our webpage, please get in contact with us. We would love to know that this sermon has reached you. We would love to know that we could be praying for you, to be able to find a community of believers for you to connect with. And if you're already a believer, then we pray that your relationship with God is ever stronger, and that it's better tomorrow than it was today, and that today is better than yesterday, and that you continue to grow in your knowledge and your love for Jesus.